Praise God. You know, I just like being honest with you guys because that's just the way that I am. Sometimes people don't like it, but it is what it is. this week, man, I was talking to God, and I just thought, he's telling me what he wants me to say. And in my heart, I'm just thinking, Lord, can one day, can I just preach, one Sunday, can I just preach something that everybody will have already agreed with? Can I just preach something that won't challenge everything that everybody's always thought? Can I just do that one Sunday? So that I could get some amens, you know, while I'm preaching, instead of just, did he just say what I think he said? I think sometimes when I preach, half the time, people are trying to figure out if they think I'm a heretic or if I'm crazy or if, but then they have this thing in their spirit saying, this is the truth. It doesn't sound like it is, but something in them says this is the truth. And so then they battle with this thing. And so, man, I'm guilty of sometimes wanting just to preach a normal message. And just go along with that. But you know, today I'm gonna tell you guys that man never had a sinful nature. And some of you already are like, what? How can that be? How could you actually stand up there and say man never had a sinful nature? And man, you know, if I hadn't been so far removed from being sin conscious, I would have thought that when God first told me also, but it's clearly true. And when I say that man never had a sinful nature, I'm not saying that there was never any sin, okay? I'm not saying that man never sinned, and I'm not saying that there was never any sin. And I'm not saying that there isn't sin in the world now. But what I'm saying is the nature of man is not sinful. And some of you are like, well, I don't know if I could believe that. And probably because we've been taught things about the nature of man that aren't true. And the reason why I started thinking about this because we're coming towards the end of talking about the fruit of the Spirit and the life of our design and how we experience the life of our design and the life we were created to experience. And so we came to the natural question in my brain, which is what everybody likes to say about grace preachers. And what they say is that you grace preachers are just telling people they can do whatever they want to do. And they say that like it's a negative thing. They say that like it's some type of insult to me, that I'm saying to everybody that they can do whatever it is they want to do. You see, the truth is that it, as a grace preacher, I am saying to people that they can do whatever it is they want to do. I guess more accurately, what I'm doing by preaching grace is I'm freeing them up to do what they already want to do. You see? And what hit me all of a sudden as I was meditating on this is the Holy Spirit just asked me a question. He said, Greg, why do you think people think it's bad This idea that I'm telling people to do whatever they want to do, that this idea is bad. Why do you think people think that? And before I could even answer the question, he answered the question for me. He said, because you guys think that you have a sinful nature. And those of you that were like me 5 or 6 years ago where you thought you did have one and then you didn't have one, you're still in the same boat. But the majority of people believe that man has a sinful nature, that man is evil at heart. That man is abundantly wicked at heart, therefore, this idea that man can do whatever they want to do is bad, because we believe man will then do bad things if man is free to do whatever it is they want to do. And so what's happened is there's, and I hate calling out movements, but anybody who's in the middle of trying to be deceived by this or that will listen online, I want to make sure they know where the deception comes from. But there's a whole section of Christianity that has sprung up, and it's called Calvinism. And the predominant theme of their religion is that man is abundantly wicked. The depravity of man. And so out of that concept comes this idea that certainly if man is free to do whatever it is they want to do, they will do evil. And that comes from this idea that man has a sinful nature. That we are actually evil. But you know, the Bible does not say that man is abundantly wicked. It says that the heart of man is abundantly wicked. Now, the heart in that scripture is not talking about your physical heart. It's talking about the center of your understanding. It's talking about your belief system. So what it was saying is that the belief system of man is abundantly wicked. Okay? And that doesn't mean we were born with this wicked belief system. What it means is that we adopted a belief system that was wicked in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They adopted a belief system that God calls wicked, okay? So We're going to talk today, and Elias, the name of the message today will be the true nature of man. We're going to expose the true nature of man so we can all see that man is not bad, that man did not come from being bad, that the very beginning of man is good, okay? And it is not bad. And I know this is so hard for some of you, and I'm not going to have time to go through and answer every question, but, you know, something the Holy Spirit's leading me into is that I don't have to answer every question, and I'm not here to answer every question. I'm just here to say what the truth is. You guys can do with it what you want. I've done with it what I want, and it makes me happy. Okay? Praise God. So, the true nature of man is born from the Spirit. Okay? The true nature of man is born from the Spirit. It's not born from the flesh. Okay? The false identity that man adopted in the Garden of Eden has led, well, the false identity that we adopted in the Garden of Eden and the life that that false identity produced has led to the belief or the idea that man had a sinful nature. We have this idea that because we adopted a false identity and that led to a certain type of behavior, that we have a sinful nature. But guys, nature does not define behavior, nor does behavior define nature. Okay? And so we have this idea that we see somebody's behavior, and therefore that tells us what their nature is. And if their nature is one way, that will define their behavior. But that's not what defines somebody's behavior. So when we preach grace, really what we're doing, and it's really the only thing that can do this, grace actually sets people free to be who they are and to do what they want to do. That's really what it sets them free to do. And grace is the only way for that to happen. So when Jesus came to set us free from sin, now sin is not a verb, sin is the belief unto the flesh, okay? Sin is defined as unbelief, which is the belief unto the flesh. When Jesus came to set us free from the belief unto the flesh, he came to set us free so that we could be something. So that we could be who we really are. He came to set us free from the belief unto the flesh so we could be our true born of God selves. That's what he came to do. Okay? He came to set us free so that we could do what it is that we actually want to do. You see, some of us, we confuse lust for desire. And because we have lust at work sometimes in our flesh, compelling us to want to do something, we think that means that's what we want to do. But there's a difference between lusting after something and wanting to do something. There's a difference to it. And those of you that say, well, I don't know about that, I can give you a great example, guys. For those of you that want to run out after I share this, that's fine. But growing up as a kid, I was a drug addict, okay? Now, at first, when you first start out on the drugs, you're coping with something, and so you think it's good, right? Because you feel that little bit of relief. But it does not take long before you hate the fact that you're doing the drugs. It doesn't take long before you no more want to do the drugs. And so maybe the first year of my life, I thought the drugs were great and I was having a great time and this is the best thing in the whole world. I don't have to think about my problems, et cetera, et cetera. But for the next 9 years of my drug addiction, I woke up every day not wanting to do that and yet still doing it. So you guys see how I was not free to do what I wanted to do. And I was not free to be who I really was. And the reason why is because I was still believing unto the flesh in many areas of my life and never knowing it. So I became enslaved to sin. Now there's a difference between being enslaved to sin and having a sin nature. There is a big difference, guys, to being enslaved to sin and having a sin nature. They are not the same thing. It's not the same thing. So I want to get up into some of these verses and show you guys some of this. And man, hopefully you guys will spend the next 9, 10, 11, 12 months meditating on the fact that you never had a sin nature. And you know, you'll become more free from the flesh than you've ever been in your whole life when you realize I never had one to begin with. You know, we become bogged down with this idea that we're sinful at heart. Now, what do you think is the product of that belief? Sin? The works of the flesh? You do not have a sinful nature. Now, does that mean you can't sin? No, that's not what that means. Okay, and hopefully I'll explain some of these things to the degree that we can understand it. But the first thing we want to do is we want to look at what is it that man wants to do. Okay, because that's what we're so scared of. That's what people who are against grace are so scared of. They're so scared that if we tell people there's no commandments, there's no laws that they're supposed to follow that will make them do the good, that they'll never do the good. That's what we're afraid of. Okay? And the reason we're afraid is because we think man is evil at heart. You know, God did not think man was evil at heart. You know, God is the one who made man. You know, for us to say that man has a sinful nature, you're really stuck with two options. There's only two choices. Either God has a sinful nature, or you're not the image and likeness of God. If you want to believe that man had a sinful nature, then those are your only two options. You tell me which one you want to pick. Either God also has a sinful nature, for we are his image and likeness, and we are made exactly like he is, or your other option is that we're not the image and likeness of God. But we know the Bible in Genesis goes on and on about how man is the image and likeness of God, and how Jesus became a human being to show us what the image and likeness of God looks like. That's why he came, guys. And so now, in philosophy, what that means is I've got you cornered in a corner now because you don't want to choose either one of those options. You don't want to say God has a sinful nature, and you also don't want to say that man isn't the image and likeness of God. For on one hand, you'll be contradicting on the Bible, and on the other hand, you'll be calling God, or you'll be saying God has a sinful nature. We know that can't be true, don't we? Neither one of those can be true. So guys, I mean, I'll just close up my Bible and stop now, and you guys can try and figure out your argument to prove that we have a sinful nature. Some of you don't like that. Some of the theologians in the audience are like, Greg, you're going to have to do better than that. You understand? No, I don't. The Holy Spirit's the one. The Holy Spirit's the one that's going to work on your heart, not me. So we want to look at what man's going to do, or what man wants to do. And as we look at what man wants to do, we want to understand that our nature, well, I'll stop there, and we'll get into these verses. And we'll go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 21. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 21. This is Paul talking about himself, and really he's making a general statement about human beings. And he's talking about a human being when they're under the law. Now, under the law is the same as believing unto the flesh. To believe unto the flesh means that you're trusting in your own strength to make yourself right with God. You're trusting in your own strength and ability to have the life of God and to produce the fruit of his life in your own life. That's what it means to believe under the flesh. So Paul here is describing a person who is in the flesh, who is under the law, okay? And look what he says. And in my mind, he's really making a generalized statement about Adam. He's talking about what happened with Adam. But in verse 15 it says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me." Okay? So, he says it over and over and over in these verses. But essentially what he's saying is that, when I believe unto the flesh, when I'm under the law system, the good that I desire to do, I am unable to do it. And the bad that I don't want to do is the very thing that I find myself doing. Okay, so what we see here is Paul describing what human beings want to do. And Paul describes that he wants to do good. That in his heart and in his mind, he wants to do what is good, but he does not find the ability to perform that which is good when he's under the law. Okay? So in this comparison, Paul has two different things that are at odds with each other. And some people like to say that this is the two natures at odds with each other. But they don't know the definition of nature when they say that. Okay? What we have going on here is two belief systems at odds. And really, we have the nature of man at odds with the belief unto the flesh. It's what we have going on here. For the nature of man is to do good. Otherwise, why would he want to do good? You see, he exposes that the nature of man is good, but he finds when he believes unto the flesh, the actions and behaviors that he carries out are contradictory to his nature. Now, if the nature of man is sinful, then why is it that he would want to do good? Where does that come from? If the nature of man is sinful, why does man desire to do good? And when we don't look at this comparison, we don't see that Paul is saying the behavior that I exhibit when I believe unto the flesh is contrary to my nature. He's saying it's contrary to who I am, and it's contrary to the very things that I want to do. Now, there's so many things to get into and look at this, but there's a difference between being enslaved to sin and having a sinful nature. Now, enslaved to sin means just like this. What does it mean to be a slave to sin? Being a slave to sin is that the good that I want to do, I can't do it because I do not find the ability to perform that which is good. That's what it means to be a slave to sin. So mankind was enslaved to sin. This is the very thing that Adam and Eve experienced in the garden. They wanted to do good, but they saw that they did not possess the ability to do that which was good. So they had a nature that was telling them, this is good. They wanted to do what was good, but they could not carry it forth, for they were enslaved to sin. Okay? So being enslaved to sin means that you're not able to be your true self. You're not able to be who you really are, and you're not able to do the things that you really want to do. So Paul says here, the things that I want to do, they're good. But I don't find the ability to perform that which is good. So we see the mentality of man right here, don't we? The mentality of man is that he wants to do something that's good. Don't we see that? Guys, this is shocking to people, but at the heart of every human being is the desire to do that which is good. At the heart of every human being is the desire to love people, is the desire to love each other. Now what happens is because we've heard a message that's filled with law and it's pointed us to believing in our own strength and of ability, we do not find the ability to perform the love that we want to do. But at the heart of our nature, we want to love people. Do you know why? Because we're born of God. We're born of God. We have God's nature. So guys, what happened, and this is where we get confused, what happened in the Garden of Eden was that the belief of man became corrupted. His nature did not become corrupted. It's a big difference, guys. The belief system of man became corrupted, not his nature. Nature does not dictate behavior. Belief dictates behavior, and belief is part of our nature. Did you guys hear that? It is the belief that dictates behavior, guys, not the nature, okay? So I can have the nature of God, but I can have behavior that does not line up with the nature of God because I am believing unto the wrong thing. I am trusting in the strength of man. I am trusting in the flesh of man, and that can only bring forth the fruit of the flesh, the works of the flesh. That has nothing to do with my nature, though, guys. You know, and for a lot of us, we come from this background, and this is a great revelation when you first get it, that I did have a sinful nature, and now I do not. That was great 10 years ago for me. That was woohoo. Just the idea that I didn't have a sinful nature. And when we get that, we think that it's okay to believe we used to have a sinful nature. But what I'm finding is that the human heart does not function like that. For when we think we had a sinful nature before, we go forward still believing we have the sinful nature because we still see the works of the flesh sometimes. Guys, as much as I love people now and as much as I have compassion in my heart for people, there's some times that I become aggravated with people. It's true. As far off into the grace as I am now, and as much as I look at every human being, even those that haven't accepted Jesus, and I look at them and I know that there's only one testimony about their life, and it's seated at the right hand of God, even then I become aggravated with humans sometimes. Now, does that mean I have a sinful nature? But if sinful nature is what produced the sins, doesn't that mean I still have a sinful nature? And see, this is what we lose sight of, those of us that want to say, I had a sinful nature, now I don't. If we say the sinful nature is what produced the sin, we're kind of stuck in a quagmire. Because if we say we have a new nature now, and yet we all say that we still commit some sins sometimes, don't we? So even though we have a new nature, if the nature is what dictated the behavior, how could I ever commit any sin ever again now that I have a new nature? Did you guys catch that? Therefore, man could never have had a sin nature. It is not their nature that produced the sin. It is the false belief system. You do not have a sin nature. The true nature of man is the same nature as God. Now, man forgot who they were and forgot what their nature was. Now, Jesus steps on the scene and he reveals the true nature of man, which is to do good. It says that Jesus of Nazareth went about doing what? Good. Now, did Jesus need some laws and some commandments to tell him what was good? Did Jesus need some laws and commandments to tell him to love people, to tell him to heal people, to tell him that the people were good? No, he didn't. And so we see in Jesus the representation of the true nature of man, because he's free to be who he really is, and he's free to do what he wants to do. And so in Jesus, we see a picture of really what every human being desires to do in their heart, which is to do good, which is the very thing that Paul wanted to do, was do good. Brothers and sisters, let us put to rest this idea that man wants to do evil. Man wants to do good. We're preaching grace to free them up so they can be who they already are. And so, yes, so they can do what they want to do. And guess what? If you want to know what they really want to do, go read about Jesus in the Gospels. For that is the desire of every man. Do you know the feeling you get when you're able to love people the way God loves us? Do you know that is the highest quality of life there is to experience? God set us free so we could experience what it feels like to love people the way he loves us. Not so that we could fulfill some commandment, but so that we could experience the highest quality of life that there is to experience. And so we see a contradiction, guys, and we see Paul saying that this behavior that I'm doing, which is the sinning, the works of the flesh, the evil that he's doing, he's saying it's contrary to what I want to do. Therefore, it has to be contrary to his nature. You guys see that? Hallelujah. Maybe it's just me, but I become happy. And when I saw this, you know, several years ago, I kind of just put it in the back burner. But when I saw it, it came out this week when I was talking about fruit, the Holy Spirit again quickened to me and said, Greg, this is another key to seeing the life of God manifest in people's lives. For them to realize they never had a sin nature. Hallelujah. You never had a sin nature. Some of you are like, well, then why do we sin? Why do we sin? And I've kind of already explained this, but I'll keep saying it. We commit sins, or we see the works of the flesh manifest in our lives when we believe unto the flesh to produce the life of God. For in the flesh is not the ability, it does not have the ability to do that which is good. It only has the ability to do that which is bad. So when I believe unto the flesh, it produces the works of the flesh. But it has nothing to do with our nature. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, guys. How did they commit sin? Did they have a sin nature before they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? I'll say that again. Did Adam and Eve have a sin nature before they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? If it's the nature that causes the sin, then we're saying God made Adam and Eve with a sin nature. Yet God specifically says that when he made man, it was good. Something tells me that if when God made man, man had some nature that is sin, that God wouldn't have said that it was good. So guys, we see that Adam and Eve sinned. They're the ones who ate from the tree. So if the sin nature causes the sin, then we have to believe Adam and Eve had a sin nature, and therefore God blew it. And it couldn't have been good, what God did. Some of you don't like that. Because when I did this on purpose. At the beginning of the message, I told you what I was going to say so you could dig in and say, I don't believe that. And so you can be confronted as we move on more and more into this idea that man does not have a sin nature. And I'm going to keep saying this, guys. Man became enslaved to sin, the belief unto the flesh. That does not mean they took on a sin nature. Our nature did not change, okay? And this is a description of someone who's a slave to sin. Now, in the book of Daniel, we have the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, whatever, however you want to pronounce it, whatever, okay? Now, in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar erects a statue of himself. And he commands that everybody come and worship the statue. Okay? Now, when you look at the measurements of the statue, the number 6 pops up over and over and over again when you look at the measurements of the statue. Now, the Bible says it will know the number of the Antichrist is 666. It's also the number of man. And so when Nebuchadnezzar erected the statue of himself, he was worshiping the flesh. He was believing unto the flesh. Okay? And without getting into great detail about this, we know that Nebuchadnezzar later became a beast. Now, when he became a beast, it is a picture of him being enslaved to sin. And he could no more be who he really was, which was a man. And he could no more do the things that he wanted to do. But rather, he did the very things that he didn't want to do because he ran around on all fours, crawling around on the ground, eating grass like an animal. Now, he became a slave to sin. He became a slave to the belief unto the flesh, is what happened. And it's a perfect picture of what it's talking about here. Now, Nebuchadnezzar did not now all of a sudden have the nature of a beast. He still had the nature of a man, for he later went back to being a man, didn't he? His nature never changed, guys, but he became enslaved to a false belief system. And therein defies, and this upsets people in the grace movement. I find in the grace movement, the eschatology of many grace preachers is all cuckoo. So this will upset them. And if they think I'm cuckoo, who cares? But I know people like to know these things. But that's also a picture of what the mark of the beast is. For Nebuchadnezzar became a beast. And I know we all get consumed with end times revelation, and maybe I should just be quiet and go write a book about the end times and become a millionaire, because we're also consumed with the end of times, that's all we want to read about. So everybody who writes a book about the end of times, they become a millionaire. But anyway, the mark of the beast that says it will be in our arms and be in our head has nothing to do with a physical mark. It has to do with a belief. Nebuchadnezzar believed unto the flesh. He placed his trust in the strength of man, and he became a beast. The mark of the beast. Now, why does it say the mark is in the arm? It says the mark is also in the arm because you make the flesh, the arm of flesh, your strength. And that's why it says the mark is in the head and in the arm. You believe unto the arm of man. You believe unto the strength of man. That's what the mark of the beast is. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says it several other times. But God told the children of Israel to put his law in between their eyes, on the frontlet of their head and on their hands. Okay? Now, he was not talking about the Ten Commandments or the law like we think of it. He meant the law of grace. Take the belief unto me in my strength, in my grace, and keep it in your head and keep it in your arm. Trust in God's arm, the grace of God, Christ and him crucified. Okay? Now, people who believe on Jesus are also marked. That's why it says when you receive the promise of the Spirit, you are marked. You are signed. It's a sign that you have believed unto God. So human beings receive two different signs, guys. And a lot of people in the grace movement get real upset with me because they want to say everybody's alive, okay, whether they believe or not, and they want to say all these things. But the bottom line is, if you are trusting in the strength of man, you are marked with the belief unto man. I hope that makes sense to you guys. I don't know why I went off on that, but people always want to know about Nebuchadnezzar. And I think I have a mandate from God to start doing this more. So that those of us who are preaching and teaching and looking at the Bible, when we think we see something, we can line it up with something in the Old Testament and see if it fits. I think that's why I'm spending all this time the last few weeks pulling these things from the Old Testament to show what it means. Okay? There is going to be a judgment against the false belief system again at the end of the world. I know that upsets some grace people, but it's true. And those that have the mark of the beast, they'll receive the same judgment that's poured out against the false belief system. Now, God does not want to judge against those people, but if these people want to connect themselves to the mark of the beast, to the false belief system, they're going to receive the same judgment. That's throughout the Bible, man. It's throughout the New Testament. People that want to preach against the rapture, and I don't care if you believe in the rapture or not, I just like saying things, and I don't know why I'm off on this tangent, but I am. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and he was what? Translated. When you look in the book of Hebrews, it says he was translated. He walked with God, and he was translated. Now, what happened right after Enoch was translated? The earth was judged, wasn't it? And Noah, the preacher of righteousness, the one who found what in the eyes of God? Grace in the eyes of God, is protected in the ark, which is a picture of us being protected in Christ. It says that the ark was pitched within and without. When you look at that word in the Bible, it means that they were pitched within and without with the atonement. That's what we are. We're pitched within and without with the atonement. Okay? So this is a prophetic picture of what's going to happen in the end of the times. Walking with God is a picture of the church. Walking with God means you believe unto God and His grace. Now, before God judges against the false belief system for the final time, He's going to remove the people that are marked with the Spirit. You guys see that? And we see this prophetic picture explained perfectly in the life of Noah and Enoch. For God is saying he was translated because he walked with me, and Noah was saved with Christ through grace. You know, there's going to be Jewish people that are going to be saved after the translation. You know, what's interesting about that word translated is people hate this. Guys, I just spent a week with people who hated hearing this, just so you know. Because they somehow believe that that means God isn't love. So they have to create this idea in their head where that Jesus isn't coming back to give us a redeemed or glorified body, but rather that when we wake up to the truth enough, we'll then have a glorified body. They think God's waiting on us to wake up enough to the fact that we're the sons and daughters of God, and then everything will change. But that's not what the Bible says. That's just not what the Bible says, guys. So Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of this, and he's a picture of what Paul's talking about, and he's a picture of a person who has the nature of a man but behaves like something contradictory to his real nature. Okay, so I can't get this enough in our heads. Behavior does not determine nature. Okay? It does not. Behavior can never tell somebody what their nature is. And we do that. We say, we look at people and say they're bad-natured or they're good-natured. But nature has nothing to do with it. Either they're enslaved to the belief unto the flesh, and so they can't do the things that they want to do, they can't be their true self, or they've been free from sin by believing in Christ, and now they're free to be who they really are, and they're free to do the things that they want to do. Those are the only two things at play, guys. It has nothing to do with their nature. You do not receive some new nature. Your nature's been the same from the beginning. The new creation that the Bible says that we all are means that there's no longer Jew and Gentile. There's one type of a human being. There's no more this idea that only some people can qualify for the salvation of God. All men can qualify by faith. That's what it's talking about, guys. And there's only one verse, I think, that talks about the new creation. And we get all super spiritual and try and make that into something it's not. When you believe unto Christ, you receive the promise of the Spirit, which is His life. Okay? But your nature has always been that you were born of God. It's always been that way. Now, this word would that Paul used, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. It means to desire, to wish, to love, to like to do a thing, be fond of doing, to take delight in, have pleasure. So he says the things that he takes delight and pleasure, that he's fond of doing, he's not able to do it because he's enslaved to the sin when he's under the law. Now, guys, if man has a sin nature, and even if you can't accept the thing about Adam and Eve, and now you say, well, Adam and Eve then got a sin nature. Let me explain something to you. If Paul had a sin nature here when he was under the law, why is he unhappy with the bad that he's doing? If it was his nature to do the bad, wouldn't he just think he was doing what he was supposed to be doing? Wouldn't, in fact, he be happy about it? Why would he hate what he was doing? if it was his nature to do it. Guys, the horse does not hate to run. It is in the horse's nature to run. It likes it. Okay? So if it was in Paul's nature to do the bad things, which is what we say the sinful nature is, he would not hate that he was doing it. So therefore, his nature cannot be sinful. Otherwise, he would like what he was doing. He would say, look what I've done, this is good. He would go and kill somebody and say, this is good what I have done, for it is my nature. You guys starting to think that's pretty ridiculous to think that man never had a sin nature, huh? Oh, good, good. But Adam and Eve, guys, when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they saw that they couldn't perform that which was good, and they stood there, it says that they were ashamed in the presence of God. It said that they felt guilty and that they ran and hid from God. Now, if their nature was sinful, then why would they feel guilty for being who they were? Why would they run from God? Why would they say that it's bad? Why would they feel ashamed that they couldn't do the good if the nature dictates behavior? For they would just say, this is my nature. This is who I am. There's nothing wrong with it. And so, guys, there's stories throughout the whole Bible that completely stomp on this concept that man had a sinful nature, or that we got a sinful nature. We did not get a sinful nature. We adopted a belief system that is called sin. That's what happened. And that belief system produced sin, not our nature. Man is not evil at heart. The nature of man is not evil. Hallelujah. Man, that is good. That will make you happy. So Paul says, the good that I do, that I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Now, it's no more I that do it, but the belief unto the flesh that dwells in me. This word sin is not a verb, it's a noun. He said, it's no more I that do these sins, it is the belief unto the flesh that is doing these sins. The belief unto the flesh is the thing producing the very thing that I don't want to do. So look what he does. He draws a comparison between himself and the actions that he doesn't want to do. And he says they're two separate things. He says they're not the same thing. He says, I don't want to do that. This belief unto the flesh that is dwelling in me is what is producing these things that I hate. Really, what Paul's saying, guys, in just flat-out language, is my nature is to do good. But I do not find the ability to do what is in my nature to do, for I am trusting in my own strength. And so the very things that are contrary to my nature are the things that I find myself doing. Guys, sins is contrary to your true nature. The works of the flesh is contrary to who you are. It's contrary to your true nature. The belief unto the flesh is contrary to who you are. It's contrary to your true nature. Now, I can't say this enough because people will always misunderstand what you say. And I find that a very easy thing to do. So I don't fault people for doing that. This does not mean that there is no sin. Okay? The fact that man does not have a sinful nature does not mean that there is no sin. For you can still believe unto the flesh. Right? So nobody come out of here and say, well, Pastor Greg said that there's no sin and that nobody could sin ever again. Well, if I say that, then I'm saying everybody's saved whether they believed or not, aren't I? And why would the Holy Spirit be in the earth today convicting the world of sin, the sin of unbelief? And that word convict is a good thing. It's a good thing for the Holy Spirit to point out to you that you're believing unto something that will kill you. Okay? So people who have not believed the truth but have believed the lie, guys, I hate to break it to you, they also don't have a sinful nature. They're just believing the wrong thing. And that thing is going to kill them. You know how it's easier to love people when you realize that even people who haven't accepted Jesus yet, they also don't have a sinful nature. They also want to do good. They're in bondage. It's bondage that keeps us from doing what we want to do. And that's what Paul was describing here. I find in my nature this desire to love. But I find that I'm in bondage to the flesh because I can't do what it is that I love to do. That's so good, man. It's so good. So just because we do something does not mean it is our nature. Okay? We were born with nature, and because we're born from God, we have the nature of God. Just because we behaved in a way that was contrary to our nature does not mean that we now have two natures. Okay? Just because we behaved in a way that was contrary to our nature does not establish some doctrine that man has two natures, that is constantly warring against each other. That's not what it establishes. And I don't have many analogies. I'm just a teacher of Scripture. But I have this one great analogy with the raccoon cat. Okay? When my friend and I were in high school, they constantly had baby cats. It was a new litter of cats every month. Okay? Well, one of the baby cats disappeared. And we never knew what happened to the baby cat. It was just gone. And so we're thinking, where is this baby cat? Well, about 6 months later, when we're just hanging out in the backyard, all of a sudden we see something come walking up. And its hair is all rotted out and dreaded out everywhere, pointing everywhere. It had dirt in itself everywhere. We're like, what is that? And it was a cat. And it was the cat that had gotten away. Now, the cat had somehow found a home with the raccoons. And so the cat had now started to believe that it was a raccoon. So it started acting like a raccoon. Now, did the cat all of a sudden now have the nature of a raccoon? No. It still had the nature of a cat. But it was believing that it was a raccoon, so now it behaved like a raccoon. You guys see that? So, man, your nature is not one of sin. You're not delivered from a sinful nature. You have been delivered from the belief unto the flesh. The Bible says that Christ has circumcised our hearts. Did it say that he circumcised our sinful nature? No. Now, what does it mean when he says it circumcised our hearts? It means that he circumcised our heart from the false belief unto the flesh. He circumcised our heart from the belief that we're defined by what we do. He did not circumcise our heart from the sinful nature. You know, flesh has a nature and spirit has a nature. But human has one nature. And it is the nature of God. And that nature could never change. For then we would cease to be human. We would cease to be the God kind if our nature changed. And for Jesus to deliver us, it says that he had to have been tempted in all ways like we are. He had to be exactly like us to deliver us. Are we now going to say that Jesus had a sinful nature? How could he deliver us from a sinful nature if he never had one himself? Man doesn't have a sinful nature. Man is good. Man is good. So when you become a slave to sin, you become a slave to something that's contrary to your true nature. It doesn't now tell you what your true nature is. The cat became a slave to a false belief. Okay, but it never changed what his true nature was. He was still a cat. Right? His behavior didn't now change his nature. I can't say this enough stuff, man. Enough times. What time is it? I carried on for way too long. Romans chapter 6. Oh, we didn't put that one in here, huh? Elias, I think maybe we put that truck over one of the verses. Or maybe we didn't put it on. Either way, it doesn't matter. I'm going to read Romans chapter 6, verse 15. Romans chapter 6, verse 15 says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not." Now this exposes why people are afraid of grace. And it exposes the fact that these people believe man has a sinful nature. Otherwise, why would they say, are we going to commit sin now that we're no longer under the law but we're under grace? And the reason why people think that it's bad to remove the law, or where will we be without some system of rules and regulations to tell us what we should do or to tell us what is good to do, is because we believe at the heart of man that they're bad. We believe man has a sinful nature, and unless they're told what is good to do, they could never know what is good to do. We actually believe that. Now, guys, I hate to break it to you, but there was no law when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yet it says they looked at themselves and saw they couldn't do that which was good. Now why would they feel guilty or ashamed if they didn't know what was good to do? The law hadn't been given yet. How'd they know what was right and wrong if there was no law? Abraham, when Abraham was with Sarah, Abimelech, one of the kings, I think it's the second time Abraham gave away his wife, and God appears to Abimelech and says, "You're a dead man, for you've taken on another man's wife." Abimelech immediately knew that it was wrong to take somebody's wife. Now, how did he know that if there was no commandments yet? How did he know that it was wrong? How did he know it was wrong to take another man's wife if the laws and the commandments hadn't been given? Guys, it's a false belief that we can't know what is good to do unless there's some commandment that tells us to do it. And we don't know what's bad unless there's some commandment that tells us it's bad. And so people are afraid of grace because they think the nature of man is evil, and therefore we need a list of rules that tells us how to behave. Lot, when Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, it says that Lot's righteous soul was vexed with their behavior. The laws and the commandments had not been given yet, guys. So how did Lot know that what they were doing wasn't good? And so, guys, it's a false concept to think. And people say it all the time when I first hit them with grace. Well, how will we know what to do? Your nature? That's how you'll know what to do. You have the nature of God. And so now if I can remove the false belief system that is the thing producing the works of the flesh, now your nature is free to do what it wants to do. It is your nature that causes you to do good. It is who you are. It is inherent about you. It is something you inherited from God because you're the God kind. You don't need some laws to tell you to do it. And this scripture, what then, shall we sin because we're no longer under the law but under grace, reveals what we all have thought in our hearts, that man is evil. Rather, tell us what to do so that we know what to do and we can do that. And even in grace, guys, I have my moments where I say that to God, where I feel pressed and stressed. Guys, yes, I'm a human being too, and I have Paul moments sometimes where he cried out three times to God to take away the messenger from Satan. Sometimes I cry out to God, "God, just tell me what to do." And then I realize what I'm saying. And then I'm realizing what I'm saying. You know, my nature knows what to do. Now, the more I separate myself from the belief under the flesh, now my nature can shine. And now I can reveal the very glory of God in me and in human. And that's how human reveals the glory of God, when they move everything out of the way and their nature can shine forward. The nature of man is good. The nature of man is not bad. So this freaks some people out, but we were created to be led by our hearts, not a system of do's or don'ts. We were created to have the experience that Paul had, except then to be free to do what it is we want to do. Okay, so what that means is in my heart, I will have this desire to love someone. I have this desire to have compassion for somebody. Now, all of a sudden, because I'm in grace, I am able to do that what I have a desire to do. And so human beings are not supposed to be led around by rules and regulations, guys. We're supposed to be led by our hearts. We're supposed to be led by our nature. Hallelujah. Your nature is good. Your heart is good. You want to do what is good. You know, when Bertie told me about that guy, all of a sudden I had a desire in my heart that I wanted to contribute. I wanted to contribute to what this guy was doing. Now, if I had been believing unto the flesh, I could have said, "Well, Greg, we don't really have the money to do that. Greg, we don't really have the money to now be giving out money to something else. We're trying to pay our bills. We're trying to do things around here." Now, if I would have been trusting in the flesh, do you see how I wouldn't have found the ability to perform the thing that I wanted to do? But it was my nature to now want to help Johan. It was something in my nature that said, "I want to feed these kids." Now, if I would have believed that I had to provide the money for myself, I would have not been free to be who I really was, and I could have never done the thing that I wanted to do, which was give money to Johan. And then I would have ended up like Paul, and I would have said, "Oh, wretched man that I am. For I have become a slave to the belief under the flesh. And my nature can't shine through." You know, we see the nature of man shining through in the world all the time, and it's good. It's a beautiful thing, guys. We're not trying to deliver people from a bad nature, for they do not have a bad nature. We're here to tell them that the nature in them is good, and we're here to deliver them from the false belief and the false identity that they adopted in the Garden of Eden. That's what we're here to free people from. Hallelujah. Man, this is so good. This is so good. I'm going to read the definition of nature. The definition of nature. This is Webster's. the inherent characteristic or basic constitution of a person or thing, humankind's original or natural condition, the genetically controlled qualities of an organism. Now, if we want to believe that we have a sin nature, are we going to say that our genetics is full of sin? For the Bible says we are the genos of God. We are the genesis of God. We are the genetics of God. So, if the definition of nature describes our original genetics, our original characteristics, then how can we now say that we have a sin nature? How can we now say we ever had a sin nature? For that would not fit in the definition of what nature means. It is the original condition of man. That's what nature means. So if we want to say that man believes something that was wrong, let us say that. And let us stop defiling man. Let us stop speaking against the very image and likeness of God by running around saying that man has a sinful nature. We're degrading the value of man by preaching that man has a sinful nature. You know, what did James tell the church that he wrote to? That they were hypocrites? For out of one, and he said that their tongue had become deceitfully wicked and evil, because out of one breath they bless God, but out of the other breath they curse the very image and likeness of God. That's what we're doing, guys, when we say that man has a sinful nature and a good nature. Out of one breath, we're blessing God when we say we love you, Lord, and out of the other breath, we're cursing his very image and likeness. Hallelujah. Man, so, Jesus came to reveal the true nature of man and the characteristics of man. And so, I'm just going to read them and we'll finish with this so you guys can get on with your Father's Day. And The rest of the hour that I didn't cover the stuff I wanted to say, I'll just have to believe the Holy Spirit will give it to you by osmosis or whatever else. Whatever else. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, we have a description of the nature of man. Now remember, the nature of man is genetically controlled qualities of an organism. Okay? Now I'm going to describe the genetically controlled qualities of God. Now, in that we are born from God, we have the same genetically controlled qualities as God does. So we're going to read the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 to 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." This is the description of man. This is the description of the nature of man. This is who man is, guys. This is our nature at heart. These are the things that we desire. You know, we desire to believe God for everything. Those of you that have wanted to have faith for things, have you ever felt a desire in your heart to just trust God, but you didn't find the ability to trust God? Now, why would you desire to trust God if it wasn't in your nature to trust God? Faith is part of your nature. Love is part of your nature. Joy is part of your nature. Peace is part of your nature. Does anybody read sin as being part of your nature? No. The works of the flesh is contrary to who human is. The works of the flesh is contrary to who you are, and it's contrary to your nature. Hallelujah. Receive that into your heart today. You have a good nature. Your nature is from God. You never had a sinful nature, and nothing can ever give you a sinful nature. Hallelujah. That is good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I just got to say one thing that came across to drive this home. You know, the Bible says that it talks about the spirit of Antichrist. And the spirit of Antichrist is contrary to Christ. It's opposite Christ. It's opposed to Christ. Now, the idea that man has a sinful nature is as anti-man as the Antichrist is to Christ. The belief that man ever had a sinful nature is as anti-man as Antichrist is to Christ. That's how opposed it is, the belief that man has a sinful nature. And it's one of the things that is used to keep us in bondage. It's one of the things that keeps us from seeing the fruit that we have in our lives to be born. It's one of the things that prevents it. And, you know, I've gone back and listened to this series on fruit. It isn't me, guys. I don't know where I got this stuff. But I'm telling you, 20 years from now, I'm going to go back and say this is when the fruit of the Spirit started. manifesting big time in people's lives. I'm going to go back to this series and the last five messages we preached, and I'm going to say, wow. And in 20 years, there's going to be a group of kids that heard this when they were young, that series. And they're going to expound on what I said. And you know what? I am going to love to go sit in the seat and let them share with me the revelation they got from listening to that series. And so I encourage everybody to listen to the last 5 weeks and see what it's talking about, for it is profound, and it will open your heart. And for young people that are listening online, that you have a heart to preach the gospel, you have a heart for grace, you have a heart to know who God really is, listen to that series, man, because I look forward to attending one of your meetings one day and letting you bless me. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you for all the fathers today. We just thank you that you have blessed them with your acceptance. We thank you for all the mothers and all the children and all the teenagers and everybody here today, that you have blessed them with your adoration and your acceptance. I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word today, that man does not have a sinful nature, that man never had a sinful nature, that our nature is born from the Spirit and our nature is born from God, and that our nature is good. I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in the hearts of everybody here today, persuading them of this truth, and that when they walk out of here, they will walk out of here standing taller. They will walk out of here feeling more like God. They will walk out of here seeing a greater manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, for they'll know what their true nature is. Hallelujah. If you're here today, or if you're listening online, and you've never heard that you don't have a sinful nature, you've never heard that God has said your nature is good, you've never placed your trust in Jesus, man, you can believe unto Jesus today. You do not have to jump through some hoops. You don't have to come up here and pray some sinner's prayer. You can believe in your heart today that Jesus died to set you free from your belief unto the flesh, that Jesus died so you can be free to be who you really are, so you can be free to do what you want to do. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will indwell you. If that's you today, man, you could believe in your heart right now. And if you're here and you want to talk about this and what this means, here I am. Have a great Father's Day.